it's an important thing, I think, to do it yourself. Like, when I went at it, I was like, right, I'm not going to know how to do every single part of this, but I'm going to figure it out. And, like, that was how I felt when I was going to, you know, when I started. I was like, I'm going to get this off the ground. And I knew I would. So, you know, you don't need a team. You don't need a developer, even if you've never done it before. Like, it's getting started creating. And even if sometimes you hit a wall, if you look back at how much you've learned already, you know, you've come so far, and that will motivate you to keep going.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 97, with founder of TravelGig.co, John Ashbury.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the show. Thanks for dropping in, and hoping you're having a great week this week. I'm your host, JC Preston, and today I'm joined by co-host Veronica Kieran. And we're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people create their own personal freedom. And this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. In today's session, we're speaking with someone I think is going to hit it out of the ballpark with their new business. And this new business is called TravelGig.co, and it's something that I haven't really heard of before, and it's making jobs available for expats and other travelers who might not necessarily want to do the typical digital nomad type of work of being a developer. That means, in reality, he's making it easier for everyone to travel more, and quite an exciting idea in a time where, you know, more and more people are indeed traveling to learn more about themselves and life, as we've got to hear about in recent episodes. You know, John Ashbury is his name, and I really think you're going to learn quite a bit from him as we talk with him about his travel gig company and his life in Australia. Some of the things that we talk with John about today are where the idea for Travel Gig came from and who's it for. We also talk a little bit about what all went into making the current version of the site work. And we talk a little bit about his background as a freelancer, and then how someone can flip the switch and become a creator themselves. I think there's plenty of good things in this one. And if you're struggling to get that first big idea off the ground, like so many people are, I think you're going to get a lot from this particular session. Speaking of traveling, I want to remind you guys of the Traveler's Mindset Travel Savvy e-course. And, you know, we've featured several guests over the last couple of years who you could say have changed quite dramatically due to their transformative travel. And in fact, our most recent interview with a traveler was world citizen Gregory Deal, in which he describes travel as a way to find out what you're really made of and what's important to you. And in fact, John talks about just that in today's interview a bit as well. And I gotta ask you, if you're still looking for this, if you don't want to go through the pain that Gregory and I talk about on his show, you know, perhaps it's time for you to think about traveling yourself. You know, create that hardship in your own life so that you can find what you're made of. You know, sure, you can start traveling domestically. Great way to get started. If you've never been out of your own, you know, city, state, etc., just go a little bit further than you're used to, you know, see what's out there. But if you want to go off the deep end of the pool and start traveling abroad, that's a whole nother ball game, folks. And if you want to get help doing that, you know, the Traveler's Mindset Travel Savvy e-course by Ginger Kern is definitely what you guys are looking for. So in it, she shares with you the answers to all kinds of beginner questions, you know, from how to prep for your traveling, including certain programs that you can apply for to get VIP treatment as you're going through like airports and things, and how to be overwhelmed and jet lag, and, you know, even learn how to keep things from going wrong or dealing with reverse culture shock. And I can remember a recent post by Gregory where, you know, he was in Costco and he was just like, oh, I'm back home. Costco, yay. Because, I mean, where else in the world are you going to see all this kind of stuff in bulk just ready for you to buy? And, you know, when you get out there, it's not available and you got to figure out how to, you know, get your own items and all those different things in completely new, different ways. These kinds of concerns are all valid, and they're questions that many people who never traveled abroad have on a regular basis. So if you want to get these questions answered, and many like them, you can check out the course at newinceptions.com/travel-savvy. Again, that URL is newinceptions.com/TRAVELSAVVY. That is travel savvy. So as per the usual, show note and show note extras for this episode can be found at newinceptions.com/97. And I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today I'm with Veronica Kieran. How are you doing today, Veronica?
Yo, yo, yo. How's everybody doing? Yep.
Bright and early, because we're talking with someone from Australia today, which is something that I rarely get to do. The last time I talked to someone from this side of the world was back on session 55. And yeah, so bright and early call, and which is really interesting. They're a little slightly off how we do things, but yeah, definitely looking forward to talking to today's guest. And, you know, actually, he was a freelance marketer and designer who traveled and worked for all over, he worked all over the world for 5 years. And originally, he was from the UK. So you're going to hear a UK voice. But since settling in Australia, he's focused on developing a site for travelers to work, volunteer, and co-create projects all over the world, which is, you know, again, pretty cool what we're able to do in today's online world. Yeah. And currently he's still, the company that he's starting, is still in its infancy. It's called Travel Gig, and it's had some pretty amazing feedback. He actually posted about it on Reddit, had a lot of interested folks there, and, it's definitely growing a solid user base. And today's guest is Travel Gig founder, John Asbury. Thanks for being here, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction as well. It's awesome to be here.
Oh. Yeah, it's, well, like I said, it's always interesting talking to people around the world, and especially where, you know, again, it's like you're almost on another planet altogether where, you know, you said it was after 11 o'clock there, probably going on later at this point. Yeah. And right now the sun for us is just now, well, not now coming up, but it's 9:30. And for a lot of people that are on in the States, I mean, it's everybody's still kind of going through their, especially if you're in the creator world, you might be still going through your morning boot up session. So it's kind of interesting.
Several of my friends are still sleeping. I'm so sure of it.
Yeah, it's my favorite time to work, actually, when everyone else is asleep. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like to get up really early and watch that sunrise and just take it slow. But my friends look at me like I'm an alien. So I get you.
Yeah, but we got that creator thing going on. So, you know, unless they are, were they creators as well?
Oh, yeah. They're all artists and creators and entrepreneurs.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay. Sorry. Well, then, yes, you're ahead of the pack then. There you go. So, John, for those who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and what you might be known for being starting with a Travel Gig?
Yes, I travel gigs my most recent project, but I've been freelancing and doing website design, graphic design, marketing, and all sorts of small business package stuff for the past 5 years, and probably much longer. So yeah, Travel gigs, the most recent project, and it's a personal project. It's all about allowing people to travel sustainably and find work or volunteer or co-create all over the world. In short, it's to be able to live where you want. It's to take advantage of modern technologies and be able to use the gig economy to move around and live from place to place. So we mentioned just before there about what being a digital nomad means these days. The idea behind Travel Goo is that you don't have to have programming skills or really any marketable skill, but it's just being able to find something that maybe a volunteering position, it may be a hospitality position, just somewhere else, and be able to sort of get out, which is why we had such a support on Reddit, especially from subs like I Want Out and stuff, because it gives people who really have no skills that chance to break out and find just something, perhaps even something random, jump into something completely new.
So let's go back a little bit.
Sure.
You were talking about, by the way, thanks for the new subreddit there. I'm gonna have to check that out. But you were talking about that your background was 5 years of doing online, website development, and that's what Veronica and I have both done. Mm-hmm. And I've been creating odds and end websites since hell, back in 1999 was the first one that I ever made. So off and on. And then WordPress came along and it's like, oh, well, this makes my job a little bit easier. But the funny thing is that even then, it was still hard for people to wrap their minds around. And I found myself explaining WordPress, not necessarily like building sites, but more explaining how to get around and do things in it, more so than not.
Sure.
And, it's just kind of interesting to me how a lot of people will start with that background. And Veronica, she has her whole digital design company based mm-hmm. around it. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. But did you go to school for that at all, John, or what'd you go to school for?
I was supposed to go to university for marketing, but mm-hmm. at the time I was building sites at home with a friend of mine, and we slowly got better at it. And this was back, it was HTML and CSS. It was the WordPress really wasn't the leader at that time. So what would it be, roughly 7 years ago now? That'd be around
about 2005 or...
Oh, yeah. Well, 2009, 2010. Maybe, yeah, right. Around sort of that time. And, we picked up clients pretty easily. Packaged things well. Mm-hmm. We grew, we slowly got some in-house staff. We got ourselves an office. We got some in-house staff and slowly started building up. Came across Odesk, which is now... Elance, I believe.
Upwork.
Elance and Odesk are now Upwork. And mm-hmm. we slowly built up from there. And we learned some incredibly valuable skills. And there's something, like you say, about it is a common background, but it's something about always having a new project and a new, you're always creating something new with a new client, with a new idea. And that was a very important transition for me. But at that point, we did very well. But we finally realized after around 18 months of running the business that we could be doing essentially the same thing, but without the office.
Mm.
So we transitioned into having our company, our employees. One of them was offered another job, and the other person we kept on. And we slowly mm-hmm. Developed that company into remote. We actually scaled back quite a lot and just kept our current clients and just kept on really what we needed, but until we'd figured stuff out. But just moved into remote work and basically scaled it back into more freelancing. But yeah, that was a very important time. And just that movement just to figure out, I think, what what we wanted out of work and what we wanted out of, you know, what was important to us. Like when we first started, I was 18 and we managed to have our own office, and, you know, me and my best friend were bosses, and we felt, you know, it was an awesome feeling. But then that novelty wears off, and you start thinking about what and where you want to go with your life, you know?
Yeah. We had a guy by the name of Franz Cavatorta on not too long ago, and, you know, he kind of got started in doing his traveling work by, I don't want to say accident, but, you know, it's just one of those things that once you get started in traveling and just being able to do the job as you're going around, I mean, it kind of becomes the norm a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it comes with its own set of challenges, of course. But for sure, it's definitely a lifestyle thing. It does become the norm very, very easily.
So did you have this entrepreneur bug, like, a good part of your life? I mean, did you grow up being interested in doing your own thing?
Or yeah.
Where'd that come from?
My very first business, I actually used to buy skateboards over from the US and over from you guys. I used to import them over just like blank deck. And I used to sell them on eBay, and that was how I actually got into web design. I was like, right, I need to build myself a website to sell some of these skateboards.
And, right.
Yeah, so that was the very first venture that I got into, and it was sort of offline and online as well. Like that was, you know, really experimental as well. Designing all these crazy websites with dodgy HTML and tables and CSS and everything, yeah. You know, but then also designing, you know, crazy designs for skateboards and sort of selling them at school. And, you know, it was, you know, I think that definitely it was set definitely for me pretty early on. I knew that was definitely going to be where, you know, that kind of route of where I was going to go, you know?
Right.
Definitely.
Much more fun to create your own stuff, I think.
So did you have any influences when you were growing up? Or, I mean, it was just like, oh, I can just do this. You just had that epiphany as a kid.
Well, I do remember buying boards, but I was originally just looking because I wanted to find cheap boards. And then, you know, mm-hmm. one thing leads to another and you realize you can buy bulk cheap boards. And
I can make money from this. Cool. Yeah. But getting back to your lifestyle, I mean, what, like Franz, like in his interview, he talked about the fact that, you know, he was going to work for like 3 years as a coder, and he would notice that when he was at the bus stop, that he would see the same people day in and day out and day in and day out. And that those people were like, I don't know, 10, 20 years ahead of him in whatever career that they were going after. And he asked himself, is this how I want to spend the rest of my life? And so I'm kind of curious for you, what was there an initial spark for you that made you interested in actually leaving home in the first place?
I think longer than running businesses and stuff, it's always been, I guess, you know, you could even call it like a fantasy to travel. Like it's just the idea behind it of just going on, you know, a huge adventure, just has, you know, such appeal that,
right.
You know, I had to explore, you know, I had to go and, mm-hmm. see what was kind of out there.
Yeah, kind of like Star Trek.
I guess so. But, you know, there's things that which are so good about it, but it's just there are definitely things which it's harder as well. Like I haven't been home in 2 years now, which is hard. It's just, I think I just always wanted to pursue that adventure. And that's still definitely a big part of my life. It's definitely my life will, it will be built around sort of travel. And, you know, until I'm ready to settle down.
Right.
But I think, yeah, it's definitely an important part of my life.
Did you have any initial fears, like, before you get started? Because I, for me, I'm very, very rooted into Midwest. And when I was in college, I had a lot more interest in moving around the country. And now that I am doing the online business, it's like, well, why can't I do these other things? And then you see, you know, some of these larger entrepreneurs that don't necessarily seem to be getting out there as much as some of the younger ones. And it's just, I think that a lot of it is that, you know, we have, us older ones have a little bit more responsibility. And you were just saying that until you're ready to settle down, I mean, you know, live the lifestyle. Yeah. So, I mean, did you have any initial fears of going out there and just living that adventure?
Yeah, listen, I guess it's natural to have fears, but I remember it being much more excitement. But you know, it's whatever works. Like I totally get the, I totally get why it's nice to be settled and just have that space, and that's your creative space. And that's one of the challenges of, living and working everywhere. Sure. You know, it's hugely inspiring, always having something new in front of you, but also it's difficult if you're not grounded. Sometimes you want to have that space, that safe space. You can just go and work and just not have to speak to anyone. And, your own like personal space with your own stuff. You don't get that if you're traveling, it's someone else's stuff and it's someone else's area. And, you know, those times where you want to just feel like you're at home, you can't really feel that. So, I guess, it's not a fear, but it's a side effect of that, you know. It's like, I definitely see why entrepreneurs want to stay in one place. Like, I think it probably makes more sense to do that, but, you know.
Yeah. But you do have some, experiences that, on your travels that a lot of, people don't necessarily, even, people like the Pat Flynn's of the world, who, again, yeah, he travels for conferences, but for the most part, he's at home with his kids all the time when he's not working. And, the thing is that, again, you have experiences that he might not necessarily have.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious. I mean, what are some of the experiences that you have experienced that, you wouldn't have had you just had that normal docile, well, is it a docile life, but a normal
more conventional
life that everybody's just kind of, more conventional life. Yeah.
I think, I think, like on a broader sense, it's a sort of way of thinking. Like it makes you, it definitely makes you see things a bit different. I think it's like stuff. It's a minimal style. It definitely like if you were living out a backpack, for instance, like you have to live in a minimal way, and that like if you truly like hone in on that and live it and put it through your work, then it makes for some really, interesting stuff. And especially if you're creating your own stuff, it's like, right, how can I make this as simple as possible? And I think if you take the same, say you gave two people the same project, and you give someone who's a designer in an office, and they've got, they've got basically unlimited time, and it's not their own sort of thing, but they've got to do it, and they'll spend a long time on things which perhaps don't matter. Whereas if you give it to someone who lives in that minimal way, then it's like, right, let's do this in a bare bones way, which just solves the problem. If you know what I mean, like it's just the like it's, let's try and do this, and it was, you know, in a really cool, simple way. It is from the your lifestyle, trying to present that in your work as well. In terms of like specific experiences, I'm sure I'll think of some, but not too good on the spot. So,
if you don't mind, I'd love to take over and talk to you a little bit more about Travel Gig.
Yeah, sure.
So, what inspired the creation of Travel Gig itself? I'm assuming that you maybe saw that there were other sites that weren't doing this exact thing, but like, what was it that made you say, okay, I'm going to actually do this as opposed to just wish that it existed?
Well, yeah, I guess that's kind of an interesting one. So I had a blog for a long time, and I'd seen so much stuff about persisting with stuff. And even though like it was just a fairly run of the fairly standard travel blog, I was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. We'll keep writing posts, and we'll keep adding content and stuff, and we'll develop into something. And at that time, it wasn't called Travel Gig; it was called Travel Hacker.
Mm.
And we carried on, and like I still write with some of the people who I wrote with in the beginning there. But yeah, we just kept going with it, kept going. And then, eventually sort of, I saw that I was getting, quite a lot of searches for work in Siargao, which is an island in the Philippines, which gets really good surf, and it's getting developed like crazy at the moment. So I started realizing that I was getting a lot of search traffic for that particular term. And then I thought, oh, actually, I looked and I couldn't find anywhere that had like an overall place for people to find jobs as they traveled. So there's lots of places to find volunteer work or like HelpX or WorkAway. But there's not a lot of places to find paid work unless you're looking for an expat position, which a lot of people that I know and I travel with, definitely that's not what they're really looking for. So, so after I saw that, I just realized that there was a gap for that, really. And I thought, you know, I just started thinking, okay, right, how can we do this? That it's so I wanted to cover, I do what I do, still want to cover the co-create the volunteer stuff, but I also wanted to do the co-create side. So that's, you know, that's when I was like, right, so how can we do this? So we've done it as a simple listing site, which is, you know, it's fairly bare bones at the moment. It's built with WordPress. So it's it looks like a custom application, but it's, you know, it's not. So
and it's really surprising what you can do. I mean, based on even what we were talking about earlier, I mean, it's really amazing what you can do with a simple WordPress install these days.
Yeah. Well, if you read about some of that stuff, they're looking to develop it into like a development platform. So we'll see if they actually do or not. I guess that's sort of how we got there. It's always been sort of, I've always been the one to be like, right, let's do it. But there's a lot of people who've helped me along the way, a lot of people who are still involved with the project. And yeah, I'm building lots of relationships. So I think that's it. It's like, you know, just allowing people to, building those relationships and allowing people to like travel and create good things and find good places to work and volunteer.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when I was looking through the website that you still had options for the type of work like woofing, so like the worldwide, Organic Farmers Foundation? Is that correct? or Organization of Organic Farmers. But at the same time, there are also paid gigs like going to there was a chef's position that I just saw that was available. Yeah. And so that was like, you know, if I was living, I'm living in my city here and I'm looking for a job, but I could also volunteer. And it felt a lot like the same type of feeling that I get just living in my own city, that I had all the same types of options, except for it was on a platform that was anywhere in the world, which I thought was really neat. What was the initial process for creating it? Did you work with a team to develop out the WordPress work to get it working almost like we were talking about, like the app? Or did you just kind of hack at it until you had it?
I mean, this is all my own sort of hacking, but it's done with a very good team. I've used it before for another project. So I knew it very well. I felt like I wanted to try and do everything I could myself. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of searching and Googling to make sure you've got the right plugins, make sure everything's going to work okay together.
Totally.
I did have some help from people with specific things, but most of the teamwork has been on the writing and trying to get the word out there in the right places. Mm-hmm. It's hard. The hardest bit was definitely getting those first two jobs on there. Because having a global job site.
We have
with
to
like
have
one job in the Philippines doesn't look so good.
No, right. That's the chicken or the egg problem, though. That's so frustrating with a lot of startups. Yeah. Is like you need two user bases, and they both have to be a certain size in order for it to even start working. And so,
yeah,
kind of like that scrambling in order to pull from both sides in order to get like almost like pilot users in there, so that it starts to fill out and become an actual useful website.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of just like fiddle, like I was just with, especially when you're doing it with yourself, I was just fiddling with these tiny little things with the site. And I don't know why, I just wasn't ready to like say, right, it's done. And then I saw a couple of people on like one day who were posting up jobs in different places of the world. And I was like, hey, can I stick this on my site?
Nice.
So, I put them both on there and I was like, right, well, that should be it. I'm going to have to launch now. So I said, just said to those guys, can you, I'm just launching it. So can you share it kind of thing? And, I took it from there. We've definitely still got a long, long way to go with building jobs on the site, but, we've got past that first stage of an empty ghost town.
Yeah. I actually have an idea for you regarding that, but to just kind of dive back into my questions, otherwise JC is going to say, Veronica, pay attention. I'm curious how your team has developed so far, and what does your interactions on the back end look like?
What do you mean?
I'm assuming that it's at the stage where it's not all just you, otherwise you're probably going to go insane. So, what kind of team do you have working with you at this point in the development?
In development wise, like the site's okay. So in terms of like handling the site, I can just use freelancers mm-hmm. as and when, like for development work. I have a good friend in the UK who gives me who I work with for doing some sides of the marketing. So he helps with some of the technical aspects behind that. And I have another lovely friend who's currently living in the Philippines who is a fantastic writer and has been helping us build some content for the site. I've got lots of people who sort of come in as and when. I think it's with a travel like this, it's it's so easy to find good content, mm-hmm. like, because, you know, you can find just beautiful places in the world, and, you know, that's, it's almost relevant, you know, you can make it relevant to the site.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been teaming up with some photographers, and, yeah, just nice. Trying to, all these people I've met over the years, it's, you know, just saying, oh, hey, do you want to, you know, do you want to feature and that kind of thing. So I think it's a very broad, spread out team, really.
Yeah.
It's not huge amounts of work. It's just I try and focus mostly on trying to build more jobs and you know, definitely doing a lot of the sort of, trying to sort of head up the marketing side of it. But yeah, that's the thing. It's lots of people wanting to help, so
great.
Makes it a bit easier.
Well, and the great part is that you can actually do that. I mean, I think that's what we're getting around to, is that you don't have to have this huge team
exactly.
to, you know, build this thing. You can just bring in people whenever yeah. you need.
It's all these experiences hand, you've had so are to coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's an important thing, like, it's an important thing, I think, to do it yourself. Like, when I went at it, I was like, right, I'm not going to know how to do every single part of this, but I'm going to figure it out. Like, that was how I felt when I was going to, you know, when I started. I was like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get this off the ground. And I knew I would. So, you know, you don't need a team. You don't need a developer, even if you've never done it before. Like, it's getting started creating. And even if sometimes you hit a wall, if you look back at how much you've learned already, you know, you've come so far, and that will motivate you to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, it's super important to try and do as much as you can yourself, without, you know, without having to pay for someone else or, you know, rely on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you feel more accomplished, and you're going to know your business better anyway.
So being a WordPress developer myself, I'm kind of curious about, like, the structures. Like, everybody has their own preferences when developing on WordPress or really any platform. Everyone's very, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
This is the only way, and it's the best way. It's my way. And so I'm kind of curious what you found as far as plugins for any other WordPress developers who are listening. Like, what plugins did you feel like totally made the site possible, or like that you got really excited about when you discovered them?
I'll definitely name a couple in a second, but I think my best piece of advice there would be, because I've got friends who are insistent on trying to find the free plugin.
Yeah.
And they'll spend hours, hours testing, for trying to find these plugins. And I'm like, dude, how much do you like value your hourly rate at, you know? And they will have spent hours going through these things, and like then only to realize that it's not going to work. When if they had have just bought the paid one, which was like $20 or something,
yeah,
you know, they would have saved themselves all of that ball ache. So I think, you know, it's just, I think it's really important. If you find a plugin that's well reviewed, but you have to pay for it, don't be a tie off. Just pay for the plugin. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into those things, and it's totally, totally worth it.
Mm.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
So, are there any we want to name specifically?
I think Restrict Content Pro, awesome plugin. So flexible, and you do much more than what it says on the tin.
Oh, nice.
Restrict Content Pro is definitely one of my favorites. The theme itself, there's a lot of custom code behind it, and it's actually built on, like, it's a modified version of WP Job Manager. That's what powers the listings. Again, hugely versatile plugin. And, you know, it comes with a bunch of add-ons, which make it even more awesome.
Nice.
Good deal. One of the things that I've noticed throughout our conversation today is that you know, you're continually recreating not only your work, but yourself, it sounds like. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I think that a lot of people that, where, you know, when they're starting their own business or, you know, just getting out of a funk or some sort of addiction, really, that they've had. You know, I mean, speaking of addictions, Cam Adair helps people get out of gaming addiction, right? And when they're out of that addiction, you know, it's like, what do I do with my time now that I have time? What do I do? And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before we got on here, started, hit the record button, is that you like to tell people to continually create. And I was just kind of wondering, I mean, what does that mean to you? I mean, give me like three or four steps that someone can, you know, start actually being a creator as opposed to a consumer.
It's interesting. Like you were just saying about addiction, there's definitely parts of that, that are on like the same wavelength. You know, you have to put everything into it when you start something. And you have to kind of addict yourself to it. I know myself, I'm like a super addictive personality. Like I was just saying earlier today, that it's like 11 months since I gave up smoking tomorrow. So it's like, I'm almost reached that 1 year mark. But, it was definitely a big thing for me, like going through that process of quitting something definitely made me sort of reflect on the other side of that, of starting something. I don't know whether I have a specific blueprint for creating something, but it's fairly well known that actually getting started is the hardest part. You know, you can talk about actually doing something, but you have to start somewhere. Like it doesn't matter what it is, start with a sketch, like whatever, start, write something down, but just like actually begin the project. You know, you don't have to have, a 100-page business plan or something. It's much more important just to get started and actually build something. For me, I just have to immerse myself. It has to be my passion, even if it's, you know, even if you slow down after a while, just to get that thing going to start with.
How did you arrive? Like, okay, so for you to make travel gig, you were already traveling at that point. And you just really, your making the site was in response to a need that you already saw that was out there.
Sure.
So again, your passion in this situation was to travel, and you just kind of blended what you already knew about, you know, web design and all that sort of stuff. And this is something that, you know, we talk about time to time again. It's like, do you work your passion into it, or do you make whatever you're working your passion? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that I think that a lot of these types of individuals that are struggling with addiction, for example, you know, gaming was their passion. So how do you kind of get to that? What would you recommend to them that are looking for something new in their lives?
I mean, my younger brother's a pretty big gamer. I don't know. It's, I feel like you got to look for something a bit more constructive. Perhaps that's I'm sure people would look at, especially people that actually are addicted to gaming, would look at that and say, you know, they don't understand. He doesn't understand, but you know.
Oh yeah.
That's like how I feel like you, because you're consuming something rather than creating something. So you know, I feel like it's only my opinion, but I feel like it's a lot more fulfilling to create than consume. So right. Yeah. Right. Getting into programming games is going to be harder, but you know, you'll see something at the end of it.
Well, and that's one of our other co-hosts. I mean, that's exactly what Daniel's done. You know, he was a game player first, and now, you know, he's made games in his career. Mm. So even if it's a small step like that, even if it's like, no one's going to want to play my games. Yeah. But even if you are, I mean, if that is something that you have an interest in doing, experiment with it. Because I think that's the number one thing that a lot of people have issues with is simply just experimenting and seeing what works for
you. Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say to answer your second point there. It's actually just started. It's just experimenting. If you see a gap, if you think there's a gap there, like, try and create something for it. Try and fill it. You know, like, I couldn't find somewhere to find jobs. So it's just, let's make something. It doesn't have to be hugely expensive. Doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be huge, but let's just try and fill it. Let's try and do something. And you can do that with, I've seen some such incredibly simple sites coming out of Product Hunt and Reddit that, just it's such a tiny niche problem, which is solved with like a one page site. And that's, that's just such a fulfilling thing to create something. It might not be what you do for the rest of your life and it might not work, but just the whole process of creating something, launching it and seeing, what people think of it. It's so liberating in a way that I think that's what I would suggest to do. It's try and create a super simple, site that's going to take you, I don't want to go for the cliche the weekend thing, but just spend a few weeks learning how to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just so terribly empowering to look at, like, I created that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So with that, what is the future of Travel Gig?
The future is fairly straightforward. We're going to try and build more jobs. I think definitely the branch of it, which I would like, so we've got three, we've got the fine paid work, we've got the volunteering work, and the third, which is my most, for me, the most important branch is the co-create. I'd like to build out those three, but I think the co-create thing is what could really give it, quite a different and really competitive edge. So there's a couple of interesting ones. My favorite one is that's on there at the moment is it's setting up a tent hostel in Vanuatu. So you basically they've negotiated a price on some land. And you mm-hmm. can basically buy yourself in and rent and go and put up tents. And they're literally setting up a hostel. I guess I think it could be an awesome, awesome thing. I'd really like to branch that out and, have those sort of co-create projects. Which people can come all over the world and, you don't even necessarily know who you're going to be working with that much, like in person, but you've planned a project together, that you're going to, go and pursue. And I think that could, that could be a really awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. Like it's definitely a really unique, value proposition. It's something that I don't think I could say, like, oh yeah, that's similar to X. The closest that my mind goes is maybe like a startup, one of those startup websites where you can find a co-founder for your project. Like that's about as close as my mind can get.
Yeah.
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 Well, and I think there are some other startup like sites that are for maybe VA type people, but again, it's nothing in what you're doing, which is, again, more like your traditional expat or, someone that it maybe even a traveling doctor or something like that,
sure.
And that they want to be a sub in wherever they're at.
Yeah.
It's completely different than like, oh, yeah, here's some VA type working jobs, not in the same thing. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, you definitely fill in a unique niche there, Ash, for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely not filled at the moment. There's a lot around it, and there's more people traveling. That, you know, there's more. If you look at predicted stats on the gig economy and freelancers, it's, you know, wherever you look, it's set to increase. And I think, you know, you can treat a lot of this stuff. The co-create project doesn't necessarily have to be your primary source of income, for instance. Same with volunteering. But if you are, say you are someone who works online, or, you know, say you are someone who's traveling who wants a break or whatever it may be, then you can go and pick something like this up. You can live somewhere and do something completely different, which you've never done before. Similarly, as you said, if you have a skill, then, you know, why not try it over in Zanzibar for a year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, as we're heading towards the end here, always start wrapping things up with the rapid fire questions. Sure. And, always like asking two questions at the beginning here, and today I'm going to ask the one that I think I don't ask enough, and it's, what are the three top favorite books that you like telling others about or like buying?
I guess it would have to be for business books. Some way it would have to be for one of my favorites is $100 Startup. That's a great book.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's been a long time since I heard about that book.
Just one that, yeah, sticks in my mind. I can never pronounce that dude's second name. Chris Galululu or something like that. a really inspiring one recently was I read Elon Musk's biography, which is, that was definitely a good book to obviously from someone like Elon Musk, just to see how and why he got to where he was. One of my favorite parts of that book was with his first company, and it was like a location based thing, I guess, sort of like an older Google Maps type thing. And they when they had a bunch of investors coming over to look at their product, they put their computer inside a big wooden box and wheeled it in so it looked like it was a bigger machine. And it was, I just loved that, how they, they had a product which worked, but they had to make it seem like it was more than it was to, you know, to their investors. And I just loved that, you know, how they did that. Yeah. Sorry, it's a bad, mm-hmm. poor explanation. You could probably cut that out of the podcast, but definitely a book worth reading. What would be my third? I don't know. I think I'm just going to go with the wild card and just say Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, because it's just such a, it's such an adventure, isn't it? You know, it's just so out there and just, I don't know. It's just good. You know, he's got a way of writing. He has a different way about explaining a point and just not, you know, fearlessly going against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's not very often that you find a book that you'll laugh out loud to. So I'm going to, yeah, Fear and Loathing Las Vegas is going to be my wild card there.
Nice. What is the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
Oh, these quickfire ones are difficult. it's going to be recent. It's going to be, it would be a recent one. I was like, I really haven't been home in 2 years. And mm-hmm. I was on the phone to my dad, and he was like, look, I'll pay for your ticket to come home. And I was like, nah, dad, I can't have you paying for me to come home. So, I think it's definitely, it was very hard. It's much easier just to say yes and just go home. But I think it's, for me, it's just so much more, I guess, important just to stay on your own two feet. I'm sure there's something harder, but that's the one that sprung to mind in the most recent memory.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
What is something you wish was still a thing?
I'm going to go with yo-yos.
Yo-yos?
Yo-yos.
Yeah, you can still get them.
Just came straight to my head. I was one of the suckers that bought a fidget spinner, so...
Oh wow! I didn't realize that those made it all the way down there.
There's absolutely some everywhere.
Yeah.
There was a car that drove by maybe about a week ago, and some kid had his hand hanging out the window with one in it, like letting the wind take it.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Hours of fun.
Jack Douglas on Jack's Films. He did a couple of videos. It's kind of like not making fun of him, but at the same time, I think the people that got into it kind of realize how gimmicky it is now, but still.
I knew I was a sucker when I was buying the thing, but I was like, no. Nah. I want one anyway.
I feel so bad for the founder, though, because they didn't get intellectual property rights to it, so they didn't make any of that money.
Yeah. But yes, you can still get in early and make plenty of money with it. So
So what service doesn't exist, but that you would gladly pay for? I know you kind of created that with your website, but is there another one maybe?
Okay, it was a good one I thought of the other day. So I feel like the DJ is sort of something that's dying out, but people just have these in restaurants. You often have playlists which just play back to back and just loop over. And I think I would definitely pay for a DJ to put together a playlist for a specific event. I've explained that poorly, but I mean like a remote DJ. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, that was just a random one that came to my head then. It was just something I was thinking about the other day.
So a DJ VA.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like there's lots of different restaurants. My girlfriend works she manages a restaurant here, and that they always get sick of having the same playlist. I think that would be a cool thing, just, you know, on a week-to-week basis, maybe. Yeah.
Good deal. What is what's the secret to achieving personal freedom, in your opinion?
I guess I'm going to go with the cop and just say keep creating stuff. For me.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend in the conversation. I like that.
Well. Yeah, maybe that's just what I always pull back on, but I just feel like it. You know, if you keep creating stuff, eventually you'll get one. Maybe Travel Gig will fail, but I'll keep creating. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, you never know.
So yeah, never know. That's right.
So what's an actionable step that somebody could take if they have an idea, but they're not really sure where to start, kind of like what we were just talking about earlier in the conversation. Instead of just talking about it, actually start it. They want to take your advice, but they're just either overwhelmed because they're blue sky thinkers, so they see the big picture and they can't seem to figure out how to go from creating a computer in their garage to becoming, you know, Apple. What would be like the actionable step that they could take to just get that ball rolling?
I guess it's just it's the action of just making the start, isn't it? It's putting it into logical, you know, it's breaking it down into steps and figuring out how you're going to tackle the problem. And yeah, that's like set yourself a goal, figure out where you want to get to and break it down into steps on how to get there.
Yeah. Breaking it down definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of answers after this conversation, which I could have answered so much better. So I'm sorry for that. I've never done anything like this before. So yeah, it's the first time for me.
Pleasure having you on. And yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on. Where can if people want to find out more about you or learn about your site, Where can they find it?
They can find me through. I don't really do much Facebooking, but you can find me through Instagram, or you find me through Travel Geek. To be honest, you can always send hello at Travel Geek and hello at travelgeek.co, and I'll say what's up. And I'm always around.
Cool.
Good deal. Appreciate you having you on, man. Right. It was good.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. It's good to speak to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And there you guys have it. I hope you enjoyed this interview with John. If you're thinking about traveling abroad while working, but don't have the usual digital nomad skills or want to try something different, you should go check out Travel Geek today. And, you know, he tells me the team over there is hard at work and making it better user experience. And I think it's yet another tool that will enable more people to live a life of purpose. You know, and I love these early success stories. And from what I can see from the stats, you guys do too. So we'll try to have these kinds of talks from time to time as it permits. But, you know, we're also trying to get bigger and bigger names on. So it's going to be somewhat of a little bit of a balance as we're going on past session 100. As mentioned in the interview, John's background is more of a freelancer. And so instead of videos of him, we're opting to go old school on this session and bring in some videos that relate well with what we spoke of today. You know, and first, he mentioned Elon Musk and his very interesting story coming up through the ranks of entrepreneurs. And one of the videos in today's extras, which you can find in the show notes at newinceptions.com/97, is a video from alux.com, which shares 15 more things about Elon that you might not know. Also, I have another video that was from the 2017 ISS conference this past week of Elon, and in it he talks about what he's looking forward to in the future with exploration. And I have a full version in the extras, but if you want a shorter 11-minute version, that's there as well. Next up, if you're wanting to be more like John and move to Australia and actually work, and you're between the ages of 18 and 30, which doesn't include myself, but you might be interested in learning how you can get a working holiday visa. I have a video from Mary Johnson where she talks about her experience, and another one that shows what you can expect as part of your time down there. And just a heads up, if you're past 30 years old like I am, and you still have an itch to go travel and work, you still can. I'll have a post by Global Goose in the show notes as well, where Kelly Dooning writes about travel opportunities for all ages. And finally, I have a video from Allie over at Psycho Traveler where she talks about another option, jobs that pay you to travel the world as opposed to staying in one place. So that pretty much wraps things up today, gang. Thanks for joining us, and let us know how you like the show. Reviews on iTunes are always great, and if you're using the podcast app on your iPhone, like many of you are, you can simply hit the Reviews tab there on the top and add your review there. Or if you're listening to us on your desktop, you can visit newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes, click the Reviews button, and it'll pop up iTunes so you can review us. And those of you who aren't using iTunes, feel free to leave your reviews on SoundCloud. Love seeing those comments over there as well. If you have any questions about a particular guest or comments on the show itself, you can send us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. And don't forget, if you want to get connected with John directly or any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook and simply saying, "Hi, hey everyone, I'm new to the group. I want to talk to so-and-so." So you can go to it directly by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And next week's show, I go solo with fellow podcaster Cole Johnson, and we talk about a lot of cool podcasty stuff, including how his show, Cole Sports with a Z, got started, and his entrance into podcast production is kind of a interesting journey. And we'll be going into that as well as some pretty deep stuff that I was kind of surprised we got into. But hey, you know, this show is about being the real McCoy, and Cole really brings it. So if you're really wanting to get into podcast and you're already there and want to join in on that one, feel free. I think you're really going to like it. So anyway, to make sure you're informed when it does go out, all you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So guys, that's it for session 97. Three more episodes to big 100. Or is it two and then the one? I don't know. But question is, should we do anything special for the big show? If you want us to, you know, send us an email. Again, if you haven't done so already, go check out Ginger's course at newinceptions.com/travelsavvy. So that said, I appreciate you joining Veronica, John, and myself in this session. And don't forget, until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.